been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It is the July 30th live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And it looks like we're going to have kind of a sloppy start to the market today. We've kind of like, let's just dump all the bad news all at once. Let's get the those GDP record drop in GDP. Let's get that out there. Let's also get the the increase once again in the initial jobless claims out there. The earnings actually have been pretty good, but being overshadowed by the big macro reports that we have had so far this morning. Right now, Dow futures down 317. That keeps the Dow above 26,000, however, 26,125. S&P futures down 36, holding on to the 3,200 level, however. That's important, 3,216. NASDAQ futures down 125. Everything down about 1.2% today in the pre-market. Russell 2000, a little more than that. It's down 1.4% this morning. Crude oil down 82 cents. Looking for some green here, not finding anything. Crude oil down 82 cents to $40.45. Staying above $40, however. Gold, even gold, which you think would have a good day today. Gold is down $11.80 this morning. 1964, not too far from 2000. And hitting an all-time high again yesterday. Silver also down today, 4.7% at 23.18. And the 10-year, there's the rally today. There's the green, 0.55. The interest rate coming down by 3 basis points today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And we've got about 22 minutes here before the market opens. And it's going to open down the Dow about 300, a little over 300 points. And the reason why, well, we've got, I'm going to give it three main reasons. Germany, number one. Germany had worse than expected economic numbers. Germany was down 1.5%. And that's when our futures went south, when those numbers came out on Germany. Reason number two would be the initial jobless claim still coming in hot. 1.43 million. Remember when we were under 300,000? Had one read under 200,000 for month after month after month after month. Well, not anymore. We're staying above 1 million now, week after week after week after week. Initial jobless claims, the jobs picture still very soft across the land, 1.43 million. And, of course, that GDP number, it came in a little better than expected, but it's the worst GDP number in our history. Of course, we shut down our economy. What do you expect? Q2 GDP down 32.9%. 32.9%. Well, we had a great day yesterday. Remember yesterday when all your troubles seemed so far away? Now it looks as if they're here to stay. Let's go back to yesterday. We had a great day here. We had one of our best days ever. I had one of my best days ever in the business yesterday with several huge winners in the market, including AMD and Shopify and CoStar, etc. I've got some winners today, but I can't overcome the macro picture of the market here. We also had... There's a lot of news here these last few days. We also had the CEOs testifying. Jeff Bezos had his microphone on mute. He forgot to tell Alexa to turn his microphone on. They had to rectify that. But all of those CEOs were grilled, fricasseed, barbecued, shish kebabbed, it would seem. Nobody was sitting on their side of the fence except for the CEOs themselves. I thought the one that sounded the best was Tim Cook of Apple. And, of course, Steve Jobs always was a big guardian of privacy, of personal information. I can't say that for Facebook and Google and Amazon, however. But I thought Tim Cook sounded the most reliable, believable CEO of those big four. And speaking of those big four, we're going to get some monster earnings after the close of the market tonight or this afternoon. Amazon, we'll hear from Bezos et al. And see where their earnings came in at. They'll compare with the same quarter last year, and they'll compare with expectations. The expectations are pretty high for Amazon. You shut down your bricks-and-mortar economy. Online boomed. We saw the earnings from UPS today. No surprise there. They had a very brisk quarter. So one would expect Amazon to also have a very brisk quarter, but, you know, there's a lot of engineering that goes on in Amazon's numbers. So we'll just have to see where they come in, but that's the big one. That's now become the biggest earnings report. Well, if that's not enough, Apple will report too. I would say Apple, Amazon, Tesla are the big three these days. Apple will also report earnings after the close. Wait a minute, I'm not done yet. Facebook will also report earnings after the close. Wait, I'm not done yet. Google. So you've got almost all the FANG stocks minus Netflix will be reporting earnings after the close today. Expect some heavy fireworks this afternoon after the market closes. Well, let's see. And I think, you know, the market's probably going to take the day off until it sees, gets a little clearer picture on those FANG stocks. European markets getting hit pretty hard. Frankfurt down 1.5%. Paris down 1%. London down 1.4%. Very weak numbers out of Germany. Let's not forget, too, we had a Fed meeting. The Fed yesterday. We had Barr on Tuesday, the Amazon or the FANG CEOs yesterday, and in the background of all this, oh yeah, remember Jerome Powell? You know, he wields more power than all of those guys put together combined. Our friends at the Fed, who continue to tell us that they have unlimited ammunition. They will never run out of ammunition. Even if America goes to the poorhouse, they have unlimited ammunition to fire at the economy. Jerome Powell says this is the worst downturn we've ever seen. And, of course, you just saw that in the GDP numbers, down 32.9%. Jerome Powell didn't rock the boat. There was nothing, no surprises. Either way, it was totally as expected. They're not going to be hiking interest rates, and they're not going to go to negative rates. So he's pretty much caught in a box, in a corner right now, of just leaving rates at basically 0% right now. But the big news, I guess, and it was expected, don't go messing with us. We've got an unlimited balance sheet that we can tap into if needed. The GDP was expected to come in down 34.1, so I suppose 32.9 you could say was a beat. We beat the estimates, but, you know, that's like saying, well, only 150,000 people died. We were expecting 155,000, so it's really not very good news there on the GDP. But once again, we shut down our economy in the second quarter of 2020, a quarter we'll be talking about for years to come. And then, of course, those Thursday jobless claim numbers didn't exactly prop things up. In fact, futures went further south when those numbers hit. Well, I have got so much. You know, there's some days that when you're in between earnings season, there's not quite a lot of news to choose from. Today, it's more of, you know, I've got to whittle this down to the most important news. The problem is it's all important news. Well, that's a good conundrum for me because I like to have a lot of important news. I've gone through everything that happened since yesterday in the markets and have condensed it down to what I think are the most important news items that you can hear and digest as individual investors in the market. This is Bill Gunnarsson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, now we have one more news item here that just came in as I was starting the show. You know, we're going to have a very contentious presidential election. That should come as no surprise. And I have to say that in my lifetime, I don't think we will ever see a more that we've ever seen in the past, the election that we'll have in less than 100 days. President Trump just sent out a tweet: with universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Well, I mean, that throws another scenario into a market that does not like uncertainty of the potential of delaying the election until the COVID virus passes through. So add one more thing that's got the market upset here today, a market that likes a little bit of certainty is getting plenty of uncertainty here today. All right, let's take a look at what I chose to talk about here today. Well, here's one more big reason why we're seeing an upset market today. A market that woke up with a tummy ache. Nowhere close to a deal on virus relief. Well, we need some Pepto-Bismol over there or some Alka-Seltzer. Remember that? Says White House's Mark Meadows. Look, the market wants stimulus, stimulus, and more stimulus. Now they're talking about this next package, another $1 trillion. The big hang-up seems to be over the unemployment. Instead of giving them a $600 bonus every week, the Republicans want to lower it to a $200 bonus, and the Democrats aren't having it. That is one of the big sticking points. But suffice it to say, Nancy Pelosi, Mark Meadows were nowhere close to a deal on a coronavirus relief package. And there will probably be another relief package after this. You can't get too much relief, after all. Eventually, I don't know. Can you come back from all the relief you've gotten? I don't know. Anyways, dollar drop plays right into these emerging market ETFs wheelhouses. You know, I heard someone else talking about the drop in the dollar and the impact it's having on the market. Well, what impact does it have on the market? We've seen the dollar. I look at the dollar every day. UUP. UUP is the proxy that I use for the U.S. dollar. Let's just take a look. Let's pull up a chart of UUP. It's been breaking support and headed down. Okay, so that's one side of the street. What's the other side of the street of that trade? The other side of the street is precious metals, obviously. A drop in the dollar sends precious metals higher, and we've seen that happen. But don't forget that a weak dollar is also good for big U.S. nationals that sell a lot overseas because it makes our goods more competitive on the world stage. The other impact that a weakening U.S. dollar has is on the emerging markets. It has a positive impact on the emerging markets. Their debt is denominated in dollars. So a drop in the U.S. dollar is beneficial to the emerging markets. And I've seen the emerging market ETFs here hang in there, and actually they're stronger right now than the U.S. market. I use VWO. I use VWO as my proxy for the emerging markets. So you've got a – that's another factor that is in play right now, is a weakening U.S. dollar. Now, maybe we're a currency manipulator. I don't know, but it would definitely boost and help our economy. A weak dollar does help our sagging economy right now. All right, let's see. And the countries that would be that would benefit most, that have the most debt, Brazil, Sweden, and Argentina. So watch Brazil and Argentina. In fact, I'm just going to pull up and test this theory. Is Brazil moving higher? EWZ. Yes, it is. See? It benefits from a weak U.S. dollar. Okay, next story. China buying is up, but still far behind the trade deal target. Well, we're halfway through the year, and apparently China has bought about 23% of the total purchase target of more than $170 billion. China is supposed to buy $170 billion worth of goods from the U.S. in 2020. Bloomberg has done some checks with the Chinese Customs Administration, and they estimate that China's at about 1/4. Okay, halfway through the year, they've only bought 1/4 of what they've committed to buying. Maybe there will be a huge buying spree. Trade has increased over the past 8 weeks. So far, China, however, not really living up to their part of the deal. AstraZeneca's Tagrisso nabs accelerated review in the U.S. for a type of lung cancer, breakthrough therapy status. And by the way, AstraZeneca, last time I looked, despite a weak market, is trading up. It's trading up on this news and also on their earnings news. It's up 1%. It was up about 3% until the market started to slide here. But that's good news, another treatment for lung cancer, a breakthrough therapy designation for AstraZeneca, AZN. Let's not forget that J&J is also working on a COVID vaccine. Add them to the list. Hey, the more the merrier. Somebody's going to come up with that vaccine, whether it's AstraZeneca, whether it's Moderna, whether it's Pfizer, whether it's a J&J or one of the smaller players like Dynavax or Novavax, or the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. J&J's COVID-19 vaccine candidate shows positive effects in primate study. Okay, they haven't got to the humans yet, so they're pretty far behind in the race, as Moderna is got the 30,000 people, from what I understand, to begin their human testing. And, of course, AstraZeneca has already completed a lot of the Phase 3 down in Brazil, and now they're conducting their Phase 3 here in the U.S. The earliest date, possible date that I have seen for a vaccine, October. Though that was a time frame put out by Pfizer yesterday, if all goes right. Of course, there's a lot can go wrong as you're trying to come up with a vaccine that will protect a population of 300 million and 7 billion people in the world. from a crazy virus. Well, when we come back, we have a lot of individual companies to talk about. We are in the throes of earning season. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Trump election tweet hits stocks. Well, it's more than that. That's the headline on one of the business channels. It's GDP. It's the unemployment numbers that came out, initial jobless claims. It's Germany. It's not being able to come together for a stimulus package. It's all of that combined, ganging up on the market today. God, we're barely down today. What the heck is going on there? We're down 6 basis points, 6/100ths of a point. The market's down 1.2%, the Dow. All right, well, let's get into some individual companies here. That's my wheelhouse. That's what I really like doing. Shell swings to huge Q2 loss. Does that surprise anybody? How much driving did you do in Q2? I didn't do a lot. Pretty much stayed at home ordering pinto beans through the internet. Warns demand outlook could curb production. You know, the reason I bring up Shell, I can remember all these dividend hounds, all these dividend hogs on Seeking Alpha. Oh, how can you pass up Shell? Look at this 7.1% dividend. Well, if you remember, they were one of the companies that shocked the world, the dividend investing world, by cutting the dividend in half. You know, here's the thing. Seeking Alpha website, the name of the site is Seeking Alpha. That means you're trying to find stocks and companies that do better than the market, the benchmark, S&P 500. I have found over the long haul, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to get alpha out of dividend-paying stocks. But there's this sense of security. It's like an electric blanket or something, or a warm, comfy comforter or something, getting that dividend. While the stock plunges, you're still getting that dividend. Well, you do the math yourself. Do the studies. Invest in just nothing but dividend-paying stocks over time. Very difficult to get alpha. Yet, that site, Seeking Alpha, is very much tilted towards dividend investors. They gobble up any article on dividend investing. Maybe they should change the name of the site to Seeking Dividends. I don't know. But alpha is very difficult to come by. Investing in dividend-paying stocks. They normally do not outperform the market. All right, ConocoPhillips. Well, there's another dividend payer, oil. The reason I picked these two stocks to talk about today, there's good sectors in the market and there's bad sectors in the market. You're not going to find best stocks now in worse sectors now. You're not going to find best sectors now in areas of the economy that are getting hammered, right? The energy patch is getting hammered by, you know, from every which way. The airlines, the travel, the leisure, the business, the railroads, the trucking, maybe the trucking, the railroad, people driving themselves to go on vacations, to visit, to stay in hotels, the gasoline consumption is way down, number one. Prices are way down, number two, $40 per barrel. And number three, you've got a huge move away from combustible engines to electrical vehicles. So I would just say, for that reason, I would not own anything in the energy patch right now. Well, Bill, what about the pipeline stocks with their big dividends? Oh, don't get me started. I've already given my little speech here, my little rant on dividend-paying stocks. The next group of stocks that I disdain, you know, I use the third quarter of the show to kind of contrast the bad stuff because we get to the good stuff in the fourth quarter of the show. Kraft Heinz beats by 15 cents. When I think of Kraft Heinz, I think of a slice of American cheese that goes on a cheeseburger. I don't think of a great stock to own in my portfolio. Kraft Heinz beats by 15 cents. They beat on revenue. They beat on growth margins. The problem is it's a slow growth company. Doesn't Kraft Heinz make the slow ketchup? The slow ketchup, the one that you got to pound and pound and pound until it finally comes out in one big glob all over your white shirt just as you're getting ready to go to church. That's usually what happens. It's a slow growth company, just like the ketchup. Here's their earnings, up 3% year over year. Sales up 4% year over year. Can I hear a big yawn? Old Dominion Freight Lines. That's a little better stock. Okay, we're getting a little better. Things are improving as the show goes along here. Old Dominion's actually been a pretty good performer over the years. But their growth has really slowed, almost to a crawl. That's why I don't own the stock. Eli Lilly. Another slow growth company. They did beat earnings. That's a very flattish looking chart, however. Eli Lilly doesn't show up in my top 300. UPS. Okay, here we go. Now, at least you can find somebody. Look at the breakout in UPS. Now, I don't own UPS. UPS has also been a single digit grower. We're talking about earnings growth, a single digit grower. UPS, however, does have a dividend yield if you want it. If you're clamoring for a dividend yield, here you go. Go get your 3.3% from UPS while you're picking up your package on your front door. UPS is up 10.4%. That should come as no surprise. As, you know, I drive down the street, everybody's got an Amazon package or something sitting on their front porch, and I see Amazon truck. The only cars I see on the road these days in my neighborhood, at least for a while there, were Amazon delivery vehicles. Okay, Newmont Mining beats by a penny. Well, that's good. I like the gold stocks right now. How's Newmont doing? You know, these stocks have had a big run. They're consolidating a little bit right now. Newmont began the year at about $38 per share. It's $67 per share. It's up about 80% year to date. They are one of the blue chip gold stocks. Now, you're going to have to accept a little bit smaller dividend yield. 1.5% is all Newmont's going to give you. But Newmont's delivered some growth here. In their most recent quarter that they reported, earnings were up 167%. They made 12 cents per share a year ago, and this quarter they made 32 cents per share. 167%, and I got to believe that their earnings are going to continue to rise here. In fact, you're looking at 71% growth in earnings this year at Newmont and 56% growth in earnings next year at Newmont. But it doesn't pay a 7% dividend yield. Okay, but when you combine earnings growth and dividend yield, that's a more potent 1-2 punch than dividend yield alone. Dow down 404 right now. We're going to have one of those sell-off days in the market today. Where's the NASDAQ right now? The NASDAQ is down, Dow down 414. NASDAQ's only down 58. All right. Well, the NASDAQ has come back quite a bit. In fact, we've had a string of big winners here at Gunderson Capital. Once again today, we have one of the biggest winners in the entire market. I was not expecting it, but there it is. It's one of the biggest winners in the market today, and in the final segment of the show, we'll make it our featured stock of the day. In the meantime, we've got a few more earnings reports coming out here. Teladoc, their sales tripled during the quarter. They're not profitable yet. That's a bugaboo. They got to figure out how to turn a profit, but I think they're growing so rapidly right now and deploying so much in investing that they haven't turned a profit. But their sales tripled for the quarter that ended on June 30th. So there again, you're on the right side of the street in the pandemic. They benefited by what's going on while other companies got hit hard by what is going on. Teladoc misses by 10 cents, but their revenue, they had blowout revenue. Teladoc is down a little bit right now. Actually, no, it's turned a corner. Teladoc's one of the biggest winners I've ever found in the market. It's up 2.7% on a day when the Dow is down 400 points. But when we come back, I can do much better than Teladoc. We've got one that's now up 10.2%, and it's one of our largest holdings. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. Well, you've got all kinds of forces at work here today on the market. What surprises me the most is how the NASDAQ is holding up here. It was down 130 points, I think, at the open. It's now down just 58 points. And one of the reasons is a major player in the NASDAQ is soaring this morning, and it's one of our biggest holdings. You know, a while back, well, my history, being from San Diego, lived there for almost my entire life until these last few years here, living in South Carolina, the other side of the country for sure, going from one edge of the nation to the other edge of the nation. Well, in San Diego, we were real proud of Qualcomm. Qualcomm was, I remember back in the day when it was a startup. And after a while, it seemed like one out of four people that you talked to in the North County of San Diego worked for Qualcomm or was associated with Qualcomm somehow. And, you know, there was a lot of millionaires made from Qualcomm as it was their technology, CDMA, over TDMA, which eventually ended up in the majority of the cell phones. I think all of the cell phones just about, okay? Irwin Jacobs was the CEO, and of course Qualcomm was a big player in San Diego. The San Diego Chargers played in Qualcomm Stadium. Qualcomm Stadium's still there. The Chargers aren't there, and I don't think it's called Qualcomm Stadium anymore. I think just the Aztecs play there these days, the San Diego State Aztecs. We did have a Super Bowl there at one time in Qualcomm Stadium. I was at that Super Bowl. Well, anyways, Qualcomm then went on a long, really a kind of a lost decade where there was not much growth in the company. Oh, it's still a good company. They still had great products. They were still innovating, but I'm talking about growth of earnings. The earnings stayed flat for a number of years. Stocks follow earnings. Therefore, the stock was mired in the 50 to 70 range for a long, long time. In fact, if you look at the earnings growth over the last 5 years, it's been negative 7% per year. Now, why all of a sudden then the renewed interest in this company? Well, it started showing up in my top 300 list once again. I go, really? Qualcomm? $113 billion company? And I think the catalyst there is 5G. They make the best 5G modems. And I started doing the valuations on the company. I go, you know what? Qualcomm is a very inexpensive technology, large technology stock. I don't think we'll ever have a Q in FANG. But at $113 billion, Qualcomm is definitely still a player. And we've still got a whole new revolution to take place in the cellular industry, and that's going to be 5G. Well, I added Qualcomm to my premier growth portfolio, I don't know when, maybe a year ago, something like that. I'd have to look. It has a dividend yield, by the way, of 2.6%. You say, wait a minute, Gunnarsson, I thought you require growth. Well, while it has not grown in the past, I look to the future, and right now the analyst 5-year growth rate is 17.6% per year. As of yesterday, the stock was trading at 15 times forward earnings, giving it a PEG ratio of 0.88. 0.88, trading at a discount to its growth rate. I had it as 100%, well, 50% of its what I have it valued at. It was at 90 yesterday, and I had it valued at 180. And it's currently ranked. It got ranked as high as 52 one month ago. So I own it not only in my premier growth portfolio, but I also own it in my dividend and growth portfolio, making it one of our largest positions at the firm, along with Shopify and AMD. What a week we've had, guys. Man, it's been unbelievable. Guys and gals, I'm really proud of my staff and what they've done. And the results that we're achieving, it's almost been unbelievable. Anyways, Qualcomm's up 10% today, breaking out to a new all-time high on 14 times normal volume today. Look at the volume of Qualcomm, or 40%, 1.4 times normal volume. Qualcomm's hitting $103 per share today and having a very good day. We'll make Qualcomm our featured stock of the day, and my co-featured stock of the day would be PayPal. PayPal is also on the right side of the street as it relates to the COVID. With people transacting from home, I've never used PayPal outside of my home buying things online. PayPal's on the right side of the street. PayPal is also breaking out today to new all-time highs. It hit almost $200 per share. It's backed off a little bit now, but it's up 3%. So we'll have featured stocks of the day, Qualcomm, QCOM, who's finally got their groove back, and PayPal, who's never lost their groove right from the starting gate back in 2015. Well, we've been busy. My crew is busy. Hey, keep them busy. I got no problem with that, and I'll put the money to work. I've been putting money to work here all year long. Continue to look for more Qualcomms, more PayPals, more Teladocs, more Shopifys, more AMDs. They're best stocks now. I'm sorry. It's not Kraft Heinz and it's not UPS. They may be good companies, but they're not growth companies anymore. You need growth if you want to grow at a superior rate. If you want to at least seek alpha, you've got to buy companies that are doing better than the average company out there. They're hard to find. It takes a lot of work. I'm very happy to have my Best Stocks Now app, which points me in the right direction every morning of at least where to look. I looked yesterday all day long. I didn't find anything new. Happy with what I have. Be doing the same thing again today. Where do you find those companies before they go on their big runs? Well, I've had pretty good luck following my Best Stocks Now app. If you'd like to put our methodology to work for you, whether it be in the bond market, dividend stocks, or ultra growth stocks, you can check the results in the newsletter, Gunnarsson Capital. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.